Does Ghostbusters Frozen Empire make Bustin' feel good again? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is a show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, and the most important question of them all. Does Bustin' still make you feel good? Roxy, does Bustin' make you feel good?
I am very concerned about our conversation about this today, because yes, it does. I have a feeling DJ Bustin' does not make you feel good.
Everybody stay tuned to find out. Light spoilers. No, I'll wait. But I will say, if I recall, you and I had similar feelings about Afterlife.
Yep.
And I can't help but feel that those feelings about Afterlife can't help but help the current movie. You can only go up. From Afterlife. So anyway. But that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which for some reason I keep wanting to call Frozen Kingdom, even though Empire State, I get the bit, but for some reason my brain always wants to go to Frozen Kingdom. That's not what it is. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. But before we get into that, a little business up top. As always, if you're listening to the show on Spotify, we ask a question every week. Last week's question was, because I wasn't able to record, so we had to postpone, and I put up an old episode from Sam and I where we were talking about X-Men, because X-Men 97 was coming out and everything. So the question on that was, who is your favorite X-Men character? My Kitchen says Nightcrawler, and then Arabelle Carey says Rogue. Roxy, who is your favorite X-Men character?
Magneto.
Interesting. I have very mixed feelings on Magneto, and especially the way we've used him in pop culture recently. You might like the new X-Men 97 show. He's now the leader of the X-Men.
Really?
Because I guess it's been forever since I've seen the original animated series, but I guess that show ended with Professor X being assassinated. So in his will, he bequeathed the X-Men to Magneto, which seems like not a great call, but you know, whatever. It leads to some great stories.
You're not a big Magneto fan. I didn't know that.
We're going to talk into X-Men 97 and what we're into. So for patrons, you can hear that conversation. I have issues with the way we treat Magneto, with the way pop culture interacts with Magneto. And you know what? We're going to save that conversation for what we're into. Go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers if you guys want to check that out. You can also check out exclusive shows like What We're Into and Spider-Versity. So I highly recommend you go over there. Is that all the business? Did I do all the business? Am I forgetting business, Roxy?
Do we need to tell them anything? No, but I do want to know how you were gone last week. I do want to know how it went.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you know. We'll save that for What We're Into, too. It's one of those things
business.
Yeah, I know I can talk about, but I don't know. You know me. I'm a private boy. I was like, is this something I want to talk about? We'll save it for What We're Into.
Oh, my God. That private?
Yeah.
DJ?
Oh, I don't know. I just, whatever. I had jury duty last week, or I was summoned for jury duty. I ended up not getting selected. It was just a fuck no. I already did it. I feel like it was pre-pandemic last time I had jury duty, but it felt like I just did this, guys. Like when we were in the room, in the selection room, there were people who were like, have you done jury duty before? 20 years ago. Why am I here then? Why?
DJ, can I tell you, that's crazy. I've never had jury duty.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, but like, shouldn't it go evenly?
It's supposedly random. It's supposedly random. But like there were people in there that had never had, there were people who have been there that had been 20 years. My wife's never had jury duty. And it's like, it's been a few years at this point, but pandemic years. So
yeah,
it's like, I just did this. Why am I back here? Please don't.
Why is it random? It should go in order.
I don't know. I don't make and I'm also suspicious whether it is random or not. But fortunately for me, because I don't want to like dump on, it's our civic duty and how important and all that stuff. It was also a civil case that it was one of those, like, I don't want to go into specifics, but it was just one of those that's like, why are we here? And this is a waste of everybody's time. Why is this happening? So fortunately for me, I was not selected. So it just took me out for a couple of days, but I was in the selection process when we would have been recording. So we were unable to record.
But if it is our civic duty, which I agree with, then shouldn't our government pay us to miss work and or companies be okay with the fact that we are gone?
Yeah, the whole like, hey, you're going to get paid $15 a day. I'm like, cool, thanks, I guess.
That is wild.
Cool. Great system we got going for us. And
Covers your parking.
What?
Covers your parking.
It does, yeah, well, fortunately, they cover your parking. So, but yeah. But it was one of those things that it's like, as they're going through the case, I was like, this is just all of this is just a symptom of that our systems suck. If any one of our systems worked the way it was supposed to, we wouldn't, you know, if our transportation system was better, if our medical system was better, if literally any system was working the way it was supposed to, we probably would be here right now. And I feel like we're wasting everybody's time. And fun fact, you know, you say that in the courtroom, they're like, hey, guess what? We don't want you on jury duty anymore.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
That's the update on me, everybody. Here's the update on news. Here's the news that's fit to print. Rox and I discussed it briefly before the episode started. As we record this, literally as I was getting ready for the show, the Penguin trailer dropped. It's cool, but we didn't have time to prepare for it. Excuse me. So we're not going to talk about that. What we will talk about is the trailer for The Acolyte. This is the new Star Wars show that is coming. I believe it's in June. That takes place 100 years before, as far as I know, it's 100 years before Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, any of that jazz. Roxy, you're the local Star Wars fan in this house.
I am.
What did you think of The Acolyte?
First of all, so that I don't butcher it, DJ, have I been saying it wrong? Is it not Acolyte?
I'm going to say that's a tomato-tomato situation. Because I don't think that doesn't sound wrong to me. I'm saying, you saying Acolyte? I'm saying Acolyte. You are probably more right. You tell me what you think, and I'm going to look it up because that's probably more correct than what I said.
I don't know anything. Acolyte. I just know that I have been saying Acolyte, and that sounds right. I'm the most casual Star Wars fan of all time. So, okay.
Acolyte. No, you're right. I'm the one that's messing it up. Acolyte. Yeah. Acolyte. Yeah. Mm hmm. Correct.
Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. Yeah. Always thought that expression was weird. If I ever meet somebody who says potato.
Yeah, or tomato. I mean, I guess if you're British, but I've never heard it.
British, but if you're not, don't go around saying tomato and potato.
Yeah, but and I should have been suspicious of my pronunciation because it does start with an A. But anyway, Acolyte.
So the Acolyte, when I watched this in a bubble, as in like by myself, a few days ago.
The bubble you have in your house. You have that sealed off, soundproof, bulletproof bubble.
Bubble girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I watched it like that, and the reason I say that is because, like, you know, you watch something by yourself and you have no idea how the world feels. It's kind of why I think.
And increasingly so, because as we've talked about, like, you go on X and you're like, I can't navigate what anybody's.
I can't talk about it at all. Yeah. No. So I watched it by myself, knowing that I was going to talk about it on Christian's show. And I was like, this trailer is sick.
Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome. This is for me. I love lightsabers. Let's go back in time. I don't have to have any prior knowledge. It feels like I just have to show up. And this is like, I love these little one-liners, like, what is that thing or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh, sick. Yes, finally, a Star Wars show that is not just for people who have watched 15 seasons of the animated show, whatever. I was stoked.
Yeah.
Then I talked to the people, and the people weren't stoked. And I was like, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
I was stoked on this. I love Amanda Stenberg. Yes. I think that they are very talented. Obviously, Rue is like one of, you just did a Hunger Games rewatch, but Rue is one of the greatest characters mm-hmm. in the Hunger Games, if not the best character, the one that pulls at your heartstrings the most.
Yeah.
I love The Hate U Give, and I just watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
She's great in that.
And thought that that was awesome too. So I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I don't know anybody else. Really?
There's the guy from, I believe it's the guy from, Squid Game. I'm going to look that up, make sure I'm not wrong.
Which guy
from Squid Game? There's Carrie-Anne Moss is one of the Jedi, and the guy from the main guy from Squid Game is one of the Jedi.
Oh, Lee Jung-jae. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this now too, the most famous of the people, Jodie Turner-Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So who I really liked in Queen and Slim, and has been in a lot of great stuff. But I think that this is a cool cast. I really like the premise. I thought it looked good. But then I heard everybody else thinks that this is like very little kids and...
That's weird to me. That's weird to me. I like you, Roxy, because I am more, let's say, like, it takes more to convince me on a Star Wars, especially recently. I saw this. I'm like, oof, vibing with this. I like the darker tone. I like the vibe. Like it's given me Andor vibes, and I loved Andor, and similar to Andor. I guess Andor had Rogue One, but similar. Like, hey, you're just saying, you don't need to know a billion. It's 100 years in the past, but we're functionally starting fresh. You don't need to know any of that stuff. The cast looks great, and the central what feels like the central mystery of like, why is this lady going around killing Jedi? That's interesting. And the way the trailer presents it is in a way that like, maybe she's not wrong to. I know traditionally we say the Jedi are the good guys, but one of the most famous people in the show is playing the person killing the Jedi. So maybe there's a reason. That's compelling. I don't know. I really vibed with this trailer. I had a brief conversation with Christian when we were in the screening for Frozen Kingdom. Yeah. And I was surprised that he was less on board.
It's just not Frozen Kingdom.
Yeah, man. Frozen Empire. Why do I keep doing that? It's not.
I like that. I Frozen was thinking Empire. That you were saying that as a joke.
No.
I looked straight into your eyes.
No.
And was like,
no, I don't know why. I keep bungling it. I don't know why.
That was it's a top secret project that none of you guys were invited to. I was at the screening for Frozen Kingdom.
Frozen Kingdom. So that's the one. That's the cool one.
You know what I think it is? It's your subconscious really wanting to be invited to Godzilla Kong.
Yeah, Kingdom maybe.
So Godzilla Kong like.
Well, and then there's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, but that's like months from now, so I don't think it's that that's messing me up.
Maybe it's that you want to be king.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just like Empire. I think my issue, one of the things, I don't like that title for a Ghostbusters movie because it feels too pretentious. And Kingdom is more pretentious than Empire. So it seems like a fantasy title, and Frozen Kingdom is more fantasy than Frozen Empire is. So maybe I keep like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Point is, before Frozen Empire, I was talking with Christian and he wasn't vibing with it. And who knows, you know what, maybe the show itself won't live up to this trailer, but if you judge trailers off of their ability to set a tone for a show and give you a sense of how the show will feel, this sold me. If this is the show I'm getting, like some of the fights have like Wuya influences from like Chinese cinema. And it's like, if this is, I would sign up for this. This seems like the type of shit I want from Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm super duper with you. I'm really, really tired of watching a show that everybody tells me you should watch every Star Wars show. So I'm signing up to watch a show. And then when I don't know some of the characters or know what's going on, the internet being like, fucking idiot. That's so stupid that you watch the show. Then you can't complain if you didn't watch the other shows. You don't even know. And I'm like, man. And I feel like this show has less of a chance of that happening.
Less. I will say there are comics and books set in this timeline.
I know. That's what Christian told me. He was like, you think you have moved away from it, but did you know about? And then he named something. Yeah, and I was like,
but you can't escape it. You can never escape it. Not with Star Wars. Never with Star Wars. But I do think it's less because, you know, it's comics and books. Sorry. I love those mediums, but they're not as popular as movies and shows. So there's less of it.
Can you believe that I never watched Ahsoka?
That I can't believe that. But at least here's the thing, and you're probably going to disagree with me on this a little bit, but at least you watched Andor. I've had people be like, I've told people like you should watch Andor, and they're like, I'm Star Wars out. I did watch Ahsoka though. Then watch Andor. If you're going to watch the bad ones, watch the good one. Like,
you know, I thought Andor was fine.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that Ahsoka's just fine. Andor's way better than that. And at least you watched Andor.
I like Ahsoka, though, because I really liked Obi-Wan.
That's so strange.
I know. So what are the chances, TJ, will there ever be a Star Wars property that you and I, other than the original trilogy, that you and I both love? Like, is it possible? By the way, I just got stuck in the cords of my computer and cool. Almost just fell out of my chair.
Glad you did.
That was wild. I was like, this will be, if DJ just sees me start.
I would have been obligated to take that clip and put it on TikTok. So I'm glad you didn't. I would have had to. God,
DJ, I really almost just, it's 10:21 in the morning. It's way too early to eat shit.
Okay, hold on. To answer your question, if the Acolyte is able to kind of capture the more, not just the serious tone, because I also liked Andor's attention to detail, but like that kind of more rigorous storytelling of Andor with fun lightsaber fights, maybe that Venn diagram will both be on board with it.
Yes. Yeah, that's a perfect combo because you are looking for intelligence in your Star Wars. Like with Andor, you're looking for statements on society, it seems like, and like social justice or some kind of theme that is true to our world and or to life that makes and or to life. That's great.
Yeah.
And I want escapism and fun.
Yeah.
So we need that merger somewhere.
Yeah. And I think for me, because all those things you mentioned are things that I like about Andor. I don't know that I need them for my Star Wars, but what I would like is a Star Wars show where that's not doing stuff like Mandalorian season 3, where it's like our jetpacks have this limit. And then the last episode, they're just whipping all over the planet. Like, it's like, pay attention to the story you're telling. Like, don't say one thing and then do something else. Like, come on, man. Just give me a little bit of that attention to detail of.
But did you like? I think you liked Mandalorian season 1 and 2 more.
No, more, yes. More, yes. But I've never been as on board with Mandalorian as other people, and it's my same issue. And we'll kind of, maybe this is helpful because it does get in the Ghostbusters. I was talking to my wife about this last night. Our IP culture is so saturated with the same stories that we end up like, you know, George Lucas, when he originally created Star Wars, he was influenced by Akira Kurosawa films, Westerns, Flash Gordon, and all those things got sucked up into the story he was telling. And now Star Wars stories pull from other Star Wars stories. So it's cannibalistic. And Mandalorian kind of represented that to me in that it was much more about the iconography than telling a story. That's one thing I liked about Andor is a good sci-fi series on its own. It doesn't need to be a Star Wars show. Whereas if you take away the Star Wars trappings from Mandalorian, I actually don't know that there's anything left. I think it's just Star Wars. You know, it's just like Star Wars commenting on Star Wars. And I think this is pertinent. I don't really want to go off on a tangent. I do. I love my tangents. But I think it's pertinent because we're talking about Ghostbusters today. And we're going to have a similar conversation about this trailer of where audience members are like, oh, it's terrible. And it's like, terrible? You know what I mean? Terrible? Like, to the point where I actually don't know what fans want. Like, this is going to sound weird. But I think in a lot of ways our culture has improved by people largely leaving organized religion, except that it feels like now everything's religion. Like Star Wars is religion. Ghostbusters is religion. Spider-Man is religion. Like we all treat it like it's the most important thing in our lives. And it's like,
You're saying that there are religious themes in those, or you're saying people now their religion is that?
Yes. The second one, that now that for some reason, culturally, we like to have a thing that we define our lives by. And that kind of used to be like, queen and country and God and all that shit. And there was a lot of problems with that shit. And I'm not saying that was better. I'm just saying I think that little component of our culture has now been replaced for some people with Star Wars. Like you were talking about where you're watching Ahsoka or what? No, you didn't watch Ahsoka, but you're watching Mandalorian or whatever, and you're just trying to enjoy a show, and people are mad at you that you didn't watch like 15 other seasons of a show.
Yeah.
Like it matters. And it's like, it's not, it's a, like if you can't engage with the show just as a show, is it even really working? Like I don't, when we went to the screening, there was, because it was, we were an all media screening, but they were doing the friends and family screening at the same time. And there were people wearing their little, I don't know if they were still there when you got there, but they, people in their like little Ghostbusters uniforms. And friend of the show, Lon, did a tweet about some of
I
his.
I saw all of that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what was going on, whether those were fans or whether they had hired them.
Good question. I want to, maybe it was fans that were hired, or maybe it was a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah.
And Lon was a friend of the show. Lon did a tweet where he's like, you know, neighbors of mine came home wearing their Ghostbusters jumpsuits, and he asked them how the new movie was, and they said terrible. And it's like, it's I think like we can, not everybody, but like so much of IP culture and fandom, we've let kind of like define our ways in a way that feels reminiscent. Having come from a religious background, feels reminiscent of having a religious background. That it's just kind of like, I don't know, like when you're making a Ghostbusters sequel, who are you even making it for? What is it? What is that? What does success in that look like anymore? Like, I don't know.
Did you just hear the woman, her name is Miriam Margolis, and she was in Harry Potter. She played Professor Pomona Sprout. Do you know who that is?
I think this is you, the one that with the screaming root babies. Is that the lady?
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Okay. But she was talking about how worried she is about Harry Potter fans.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I worry about Harry Potter fans because they should be over that by now. It was 25 years ago and it's for children. Like she's just talking about how, like when she meets people, they yeah. just are flipped out about something still. And I think that this is kind of part of what you're talking about. It's obviously that's not a reboot or a sequel. Well, I guess it is a sequel.
No.
Because there's seven of them.
Seven of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like when your whole entire personality
yeah.
becomes one of these franchises, people do kind of ride for it like it is a religion.
Yeah.
And it becomes extremely scary and difficult to have civil conversations with those people. It's yeah. like the time that I said the Snyder Cut does not exist.
Yeah.
Like maybe a couple months after Justice League had come out.
Yeah.
And we had never seen something like that done where like there had been rumblings yeah. or whatever it was. And you know, then he had to put millions of dollars into it in order mm-hmm. to create it. So
yeah.
Who's to say exactly, but the way that to this day, I'm not kidding you, DJ, I still get at least one DM every single day
yeah.
of like video compilations of me saying that and people telling me to burn in hell because yeah. I one time said that the Snyder Cut does not exist because it's your whole life
yeah.
and your whole personality. That is wild.
And so like, I wonder, and this is kind of me tangenting in, but I wonder if there is like a happy middle ground where you could create a sense of not moving to like nationalism or that kind of like religious fervor that leads people to murder other people or any of that stuff, but a sense of like community and identity revolving around like helping people. Like maybe that is a part of human experience that we need to be able to identify ourselves around something. And maybe there's a way to direct people to a healthy, like helping each other and community and all that stuff.
That's why I've really enjoyed the horror community, DJ.
Yeah.
Like they kind of are a little freakier
yeah.
and a little more inviting and a little more like I have not seen a lot of horror movies. I've been watching a lot of them and yeah. people are so excited
yeah.
for my first time watching some of these things as opposed to like kill her, get her yeah. that she hasn't seen this. I don't know. There are still some corners of the internet. It's not DC, Star Wars, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. It's not those corners,
mm-hmm.
but there are still some corners like foreign films, horror movie where like, people really, really just like ride for that in a fun, positive community way.
Yeah. And it's, and I think it's important too. I think that making things less insular is incredibly important to me. And that's why I think it matters that, because again, I love superhero films, I love genre films, I love my franchises, but I think it's all about balance and having a quote unquote like healthy diet or a healthy output, in that for these franchises you love, they also need, you need that competition to where they can pull from other things. I was talking to my wife last night, and I was on some website, and you know, some of those websites have like a video that pops up in the corner, like a talk show thing or whatever. And it was some sort of anime thing. And my first reaction, I'm like, what is this anime bullshit? And then I realized it was something I'd never seen before. And then I realized like that happens. So, and I'm not, maybe I'm talking out of school because I'm not the biggest anime fan. But every time I hear anime fans losing their mind over a new anime, it is new. Like, it is a brand new fucking thing. It's like a guy with a chainsaw for a head or this thing. And it's like, God bless that community for creating so many, just continue seemingly, and I know a lot of it's inspired by manga, but seemingly creating new ideas constantly. To the point where in some ways, like,
one, and then we take them for live action.
Well, yeah, and exactly, whatever. But the point being is that you need those new ideas so that, that, you know, you can pull from, so that you can innovate, so that storytellers can innovate. Like that, one of the things that made My Adventures with Superman innovative is, what haven't we done with Superman in animation? Well, anime is doing all these new crazy things. Let's pull from that. And that'll breathe new life into this story we've been telling for almost 100 years now. So you need those. I'm not saying get rid of Spider-Man or get rid of Ghostbusters or get rid of Star Wars. I'm saying leave enough room for new ideas and new ways of telling stories that that can help improve and help these other genres and types of stories that we love innovate, try new things, do new things. Like, you need that kind of healthy space. And so as a fan, I want more diverse types of stories in every way. When I say more diverse, in every way, because that'll just improve the media we're getting. But also, as somebody that lives in this culture, I mean, just let a movie be a movie, man. Like, you can love it and it can be your thing, but like, you know, I worry about our ability to let it exist on its own terms and not be like mad at people about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I saw Joe Starr post this morning. I'm going to read it because I thought this was, and he was reposting from a friend of his named Mike Lawrence Comedy, who wrote, "There's an unwritten social contract with sequels, reboots, and remakes where it's your job as a fan to not need the new thing to be as good as the original because you've worked hard to make your life better and not so dependent on pop culture."
Yeah.
There isn't that contract. There should be an unwritten contract, yeah. But there isn't. And I think it is really two sides of kind of what we're talking about. Number one, like you said, I yearn for original content.
Yeah.
And we don't get that all the time. And everything's IP and in order. This is why we had the entire argument, DJ, not you and me mm-hmm. and Hector, about reboot the entire MCU.
Yeah.
Because I hate the gatekeepiness of, if you want to watch this, you have to watch 40 freaking movies first.
Yeah.
I think that is just like so egregious and unfortunate.
Yeah.
But also, I go to bed at night not seething about that. Mm-hmm. I go to bed at night thinking about my family and friends and my aspirations. And I'm not sitting there finding Reddit forums being like, if you do not feel this way, then burn in hell.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be a fine line between like, here are my thoughts on this movie and this property that means a lot to me. And if something sucks, that's fine.
Yeah.
I have the thing that I love still. And this just doesn't matter that much.
Well, in the other way, and I also feel like it, in some ways, and this isn't necessarily true of everybody, but in some ways it is like, I was thinking about that Joe Starr tweet you talked about. It is like chasing a high. Like, people are going into this Ghostbusters movie wanting to feel like they felt when they saw the first one. Mm-hmm. You can't. That's gone. That moment is gone. That's that, or you have that moment. And see, for me, like, and Sal and I did Mutant Academy this week, and we were talking about X-Men 97. And I mentioned, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't like nostalgia, right? Because the Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man movie is still my favorite Spider-Man movie. And part of the reason for that is when I sit down and I watch it, my brain is able to go back to when I was 15 and I saw it for the first time and all of those feelings that I had when I first saw it. That is nostalgia. Where my nostalgia ends is if somebody was like, oh, do you want them to Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire to do a Spider-Man 4? Not really. That time existed. I have that. I can still go back and watch that movie. And truthfully, I can almost guarantee you if Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire did a Spider-Man 4, it would probably make me sad. Because I'm going to be honest with you, in Frozen Empire, got it right that time. Seeing Bill Murray, old ass, crusty ass Bill Murray in that Ghostbusters uniform, it's like, this is a kind of a fucking bummer, man. Like there's even...
Wow, I didn't feel that way.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie is when... sorry, guys, we've got some new stuff too, but it all pertains. It's about nostalgia. When Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd, they're talking about like, yeah, man, we're in our golden years. We should be doing other things. And it's like, correct. Yes, that's a good. I'm glad this movie's kind of acknowledging that. Like, why are we making, like in Force Awakens, when Han Solo comes out and he's like, hey guys, I'm still doing the smuggling thing. I haven't grown or changed as a character at all since you last saw me. That's sad. That's a bummer.
I liked the way they handled that, and I liked that scene too. And I don't think it is a bummer. Like, I have always wanted to be Betty White. Mm-hmm. I want to work until the day that I die. It's what I love to do.
Yeah.
So I think it's okay to have characters that like are still at it. But then you're right. They do need some kind of personal growth or change. Yeah.
Not necessarily still at it. I don't mind them still being at it. Although I will say, like, in an election year where we've got two octogenarians that we're going to be forced to vote between, you let people retire, man. I don't need to see fucking even Senate leaders that I fucking loathe have like brain aneurysms on camera. I don't need that shit, man.
RFK.
Yeah, like fucking shit. But again, that growing as a person to that point, since we're on it, new Beetlejuice trailer. And similarly, it's like we got Winona Ryder, 40s, 50-year-old Winona Ryder as Lydia Deetz dressing the exact same way her character dressed as a child. And it's like, so she hasn't, isn't Jenna Ortega supposed to be her daughter? She's had a full-on kid, but like nothing about her personality has changed. And almost my entire life has happened between Beetlejuice 1 and this new Beetlejuice movie. And Lydia Deetz hasn't changed at all in that time?
You don't know that.
But like, you didn't get that feeling when you saw that picture or that saw that still from the trailer and it's like the exact same. You didn't get that sense of that sinking in your stomach of like, this is seeing people. I know people from my high school that are the exact same person that I knew in high school. And that makes me sad a little bit.
Why?
Because I want people to grow as people and not hold on to the same bullshit that they had when they were children.
I want people to be exactly who they want to be.
But what if what they want to be is bad?
You think that just because you're who you were in high school is bad? Like, some people just don't want the life that we want. They marry their high school sweetheart and want to live a life of like comfort and understanding of who they are and what they do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
A healthy life is one filled with growth and change.
For you.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah.
I'm with you personally.
Yeah.
If I was still who I was in high school, it would be a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody. There were some people in high school that were really sweet.
Sure. Okay.
Those people can go on with their bad selves.
Yeah.
But no, I think that it was cool. I think I was really, are we speaking about the Beetlejuice trailer?
Yeah, now? We've transitioned to Beetlejuice.
I thought it was unbelievable how good these people looked. Like, just like go off, kings and queens of Beetlejuice land.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be really good. And I'm pretty stoked for that. Like watching this, I was like, damn, y'all still got it. And even thinking about, what the hell is his name?
Michael Keaton.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thinking about Michael Keaton, like reviving this and Batman within a 12-month period or whenever that was, like, it's just, I love people who are true to their fandom and aren't like, I'm never doing that again. Let me move on. You know, like when it's what made you a star. And yeah. I think that it's cool to see him back. We don't know in terms of the outfits if that's the entire movie or what the situation is or whether they're trying to recreate something or what.
Yeah.
And this was kind of like a little tiny teaser. I don't even know if I would call this a trailer.
Yeah, true.
So, it was small. And I was like, oh, cool. That looks cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, this is sad. She's still in high school.
Everybody online is like, Michael Keaton looks so good as Beetlejuice. I'm like, does he? It looks like, I just can't shake the feeling we're making these like 60 to 80 year olds cosplay as our favorite. We just demand it. No, I need them back in the thing. It's like, no, this is sad, man. They're in a different stage in our life. We should be too.
You don't think he wanted to do this?
I mean, maybe. I'm sure he wants that paycheck. I don't. It's like every time there's a headline of like, this actor wants to play Batman. Yeah, of course they fucking do. Why wouldn't they?
I think it's really like when somebody's lived inside your body for so long, being able to revisit that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I just... Tim Burton's not the director he used to be. Again, like it's been 35, 36 years since the first one. And it's like, man, we just can't let anything go. And granted, I'm not the big... Beetlejuice is fine. I like Beetlejuice. I didn't see it until it was later in life. So I don't necessarily have the same nostalgia as everybody else. But it's just one of those, like, we can't let a single one of these properties just live in peace, man. Just we can't let it go.
I don't know, with this one, I feel excited and it's fun and the fandom seems to be really excited about it and it looked good. And I don't know that we have to let this one go. It's not like we've dragged it through the mud with 50 reboots. Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, that's a fun revisit.
Yeah. I like Jenna Ortega. I do like Michael Keaton. We will see. We'll see. It could be great. It could be great. We were also briefly going to talk about these rumors that the guy on screen right now, Aaron Taylor Johnson, might be Bond. But, you know, we've run a little tight on time. And near as I can tell, it's just the class, like a tabloid's like, he's been offered the role. And it's like, is that? I will say this, though, because I do think it's pertinent. They said, like, Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's 33 years old. And one, Aaron Taylor Johnson has been working so long. I'm like, he's only 33? Wild. And then I had to have the moment of like, oh, my God. There's going to be a James Bond that's younger than I am. That's weird. That's a weird, because my entire life, James Bond has been older than me. And now there will be a James Bond that's younger than me. And that's something I'm going to have to reckon with.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's like when you get to be the age, you're like, I was not going to be a professional athlete, but now I'm actually too old. Yeah. All the professional athletes are younger than me.
Yes.
The people that I watched as a kid, I'm now older than them. I could never be a professional athlete. And it's because of my age, nothing else.
Yeah. And it's just one thing. It's one thing with like, when you talk about athletes or pop stars, because they're usually young, you know what I mean? So, but like Bond has always been like a dad. He's been like 40s. He's been like, he's old. It's Sean Connery and Daniel Craig and fucking Pierce Brosnan. And now it's like, it's a child. They have a child playing Bond.
I did an hour sit down with him for a Collider.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah. He was awesome.
Good. He seems really cool. For some reason he gets, I feel like in the fandoms, the circles we run into, it feels like he gets shit on a lot because of Quicksilver and now the Kraven movie that shouldn't exist, which isn't his fault. Just like it's none of the actresses in Madam Web's fault that movie exists. But I think he's really talented. What is it? Nowhere Boy, where he plays young John Lennon. He's really good in that. And he seems like a genuinely cool person. So I'm hopeful. I mean, would this be my first choice as Bond? I actually don't know what my first choice would be as Bond at this point. He's totally fine. But he seems like a genuinely cool
person. It seems very generic, a generic choice.
Yeah.
But I was excited because he was like very normal.
Yeah.
And nice. And I was like, oh, because not everybody who came through the room was normal and nice.
I bet.
And
he was. He seems like one of the people, and you just interviewed him the one time. I've never even met the person.
Yeah.
But he seems like the type of person that understands that this is a job. It's a job.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what I do for a living.
Yeah. 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 Sure, I'm in some of the biggest movies in the world, but it's just a job, and I have a life outside of this job. It's like, cool, that's great. I appreciate that. So cool. I think I'd be down. I would hope maybe... there's been rumors or suggestions that maybe they could set it back in the 60s, which I think would be interesting. Like, do something just different, just because the Daniel Craig Bonds were so, felt to me at least, so definitive, like such a definitive take on Bond, that, maybe shake it up a little bit. And I also wasn't under the illusions that we'd get Idris Elba in there. It's like, no, he's too... They want a Bond that they can be Bond for another 10, 20 years, man. They're not going to...
I've never seen these movies.
You've never seen a single Bond movie?
During the pandemic, I watched GoldenEye.
Oh, that's a good one.
I played the video game growing up.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, great.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I actually did.
Yeah.
Professional gamer.
Yeah, you're the gamer. You're the gamer here.
So that's the one that I watched. And I was like, oh, this was good. Okay.
Yeah. I do recommend the Daniel Craig Bonds. Other than Spectre, they're all great to pretty good.
And Spectre's bad?
Spectre is the weakest. Is it bad? Of those, not great. It's kind of like my argument with Spider-Man 3. Is Spider-Man 3 the worst Spider-Man movie, in my opinion? No, it is not. Is it the worst of the Sam Raimi movies? Easily. Is Spectre the worst Bond movie? Probably not. Is it the worst of the Daniel Craig movies? Oh, you buy by a mile. Yeah, it's not of those movies. If you're comparing it to like Casino Royale, it's not great.
Okay.
But anyway... But also, I don't know that, you know, I'm not going to be like, you got to see the Bond movies. Speaking of franchises, we've already been talking about a gang, but we're going to talk about it some more. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire coming out as of this recording right now. It's in theaters right now.
Whoa.
When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second Ice Age. All right, that little Ice Age bit isn't really in the movie. They don't really talk about it that way, but okay. This was directed by Gil Keenan, who also did movies like Monster House and the Poltergeist remake. It was written by Keenan and Jason Reitman, who directed Afterlife. And it's got all the people in it. Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, Celeste O'Connor, Logan Kim, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson. On Rotten Tomatoes right now, it has a 45%. Let me remind you that Afterlife has a 64%. It might have an audience score now, but when I made this doc up, it didn't have an audience score yet. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire offers a certain amount of nostalgia-fueled fun for fans of the original, but a crowded cast and surprisingly serious tone prevent the sequel from truly sparking. Roxy, what are your thoughts on
it? I just looked and the audience score for Frozen Empire is 86.
Fair. All right.
As opposed, yeah.
I don't know what Afterlife's was.
Yeah, I don't know either. I can look.
I'll look. You tell me what you think and I'll look.
I was really surprised based on... So, DJ, you and I were in the same critic screening.
Yes.
Which was jam-packed.
Yeah.
And seemingly pretty lively throughout.
Yes.
I felt like the read of the room afterwards was that was a good time. I was really surprised to then the next day see at 6 a.m. a 45% on the tomato meter.
Yeah.
I thought people... So my first thought was like, oh, I thought we all collectively knew this was better than Afterlife.
Yes.
That's clearly not how other people thought.
For real.
Which I was shocked because usually I feel like I have a good read on the room. I did not like Afterlife.
Same.
I just didn't like it. I remember watching it. I think I went with Darina and just being like, ooh, that was not for me. Mm. That was just. Not for me. And then I remember talking to Christian about it and him being like, what? You must have been in a bad mood that day because that movie was really good and da da da.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I think I just didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the story.
Yeah.
I didn't like the plot. I thought that it was weird and not in a good way or fun way. So I went into this with the lowest expectations, thinking I'm probably not going to like this movie because it's a sequel to that. Mm-hmm. And I had issues with the characters, the plot, the whatever, and a lot of the same team is working on it. So maybe it's because my expectations were so low, and maybe it's because I so didn't like Afterlife that I actually really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was kind of a blast. And do I think there are some holes and some issues? Yeah, of course. It's not a perfect movie by any means, but at least I really enjoyed watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was sitting there, I was like, oh, that's fun. That's a cool choice. I like that moment. I also think that this is true of the first one, but just didn't work for me in the first one. I really like this cast. I am a huge fan of Carrie Coon. Huge.
She's great.
And I love Paul Rudd, obviously. I think it's got really good The ghost girl is the main girl from the Gossip Girl reboot, which that show was hard, just not watchable, but she was really good. And McKenna Grace, who I love, I think I first saw her in Handmaid's Tale, but I love her. And obviously we all know Finn Wolfhard, and I think that he's great too. So it's like when you can get on board with the kids, I think that's really helpful. I went back and forth on Camille Nanjiani's character a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm. I think he's great. I think we make some choices with his character that I don't know work in the movie.
Yeah, he like really leaned into it, and I thought that that was awesome, and I really love him as a performer, and I think he's naturally very funny, and he probably got the biggest laughs of the whole movie by far in the theater. Like, people were erupting with laughter when he spoke. But there were some moments that just were kind of like, that fell a little flat for me with him, the character.
Yeah.
But that's fine. That, you know, I'm able to be a little more nitpicky with this movie because I liked it in general, as opposed to the last one, which I didn't even know what to say about it because I just didn't like the movie.
Yeah, same. I think you and I had pretty similar reactions. I loathed Afterlife. Like, I remember really thinking it really didn't work for me. And so going into this, I was like, I didn't even want to, like, just a little how the sausage is made. Us getting a screening was a little touch and go, like, whether it would happen or not. And I was like, if we don't get a screening, I actually don't know that we'll cover it because I don't really want to spend money. I really didn't like Afterlife, so I don't know why I would spend money on this movie. And I'm glad it worked out because, like you, it's like, oh, two things right off the bat. More ghosts, more jokes. So therefore, immediately, it's like it kind of feels more like a Ghostbusters movie than whatever Afterlife was doing. Like, and it does what I want. What was something I respond to with these franchise movies? You really felt like the creators were like, okay, what are some things that in these movies that we haven't really explored ghost-wise before, or like just story-wise before? So we get a lot of different types of ghosts.
Yes.
For me, the clear winner of trying new things was Possessor. I thought Possessor was a real winner of a concept that they did cool things with.
That was cool.
Yeah, I just thought it was a cool, like, you know, we're dealing with stuff like possession or ghosts and items. I will say something I would like to go, if we're going to keep doing these movies, I think a little bit of exposition on how ghosts work in this universe, because sometimes they're people that have died and sometimes they're giant dragon monsters, and I don't know why that's the case.
I was really curious about that, especially with the main ghost this time.
Yeah.
The Gossip Girl ghost, where I was just like, huh.
What? Because at that point, light spoilers, but at that point we've already seen Slimer, and it's like, wait. Why is this girl like this and Slimer's the way he is?
Yeah, and we do get an understanding of like what she's trying to do, which I appreciate.
Although we do get one of those like reveals that this was the villain's plan, and I'm like, what? How was this his plan? Did he even know that this device that we were using existed? Anyway, whatever.
But I was kind of curious, like, maybe did she actually look more like Slimer, but this was the manifestation that's given to her because of the job that she needs to do. Yeah. So she needs, you know, like, I think they could have done it in like a two sentence thing where like every ghost looks like one way unless you're gifted something.
Or you say like, yeah, humans that are ghosts look like this. Slimer's a different, he's from that dimension. He's just a thing from that dimension.
But right.
Then in the second movie, I think the Scolari brothers look like little monsters. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe the better way is like, that she does look like a weird, creepy monster, but she's able to look cool right now. The one thing is, it's one of the issues I had with this movie are that as much as I actually liked the lore stuff that they went into, because it expands the universe. I'm a fan of, like, if you're going to keep doing movies like this, expand your understanding of the rules and how the universe works, and they do that. I do think they get a little lost into it to the point where, because we've got Ghost Girl subplot and Kumail Nanjiani has this whole subplot. And there was a point where we spent so much time on the Kumail Nanjiani subplot that when we went back to Ghost Girl, I'd forgotten that we were doing that. And so it's one of those, maybe pick one. What we do, I don't want to spoil it, but where we build to Kumail's character, when you think about it, it's like, that's kind of stupid. Maybe, you know, I think maybe he could have just become a Ghostbuster. I think that would have fit his arc. You could have just said like, hey man, this is your family history, and now you're going to do it as a Ghostbuster. I also, I don't in my brain, the Ghostbusters are coworkers. So this whole like subplot of like, we're actually a family, and is Paul Rudd your dad or not your dad? That's not Ghostbusters to me. That said, it worked. McKenna Grace is great. Paul Rudd is great. And so it's like, it's not what I want from a Ghostbusters movie, but it's not bad. You're not telling that story poorly. It's just not, and you can kind of feel that competition where you've got like family unit Ghostbusters. And then we introduce like IT Ghostbusters, you know, like that are a little bit older. You know, I'd like my Ghostbusters to be a little bit closer to college age. And so you can kind of feel those competing, the Ghostbusters movie that Afterlife set up and maybe the Ghostbusters movie we would rather be making.
I hear you. I definitely love, like, every movie now is about family, and I like a coworker situation too, yeah. But I did think that because the chemistry was there, that's a totally fine thing to tell. I have a spoiler question for you. Can I ask it?
We've been all over the place. So if you guys haven't seen Frozen Empire, I think Broxy and I would both say, if you like Ghostbusters, like this is, to me, this is easily the best Ghostbusters movie since Ghostbusters 2.
Right.
And it's been a minute since I've seen Ghostbusters 2, but I remember not liking it all that much. So this actually might be my favorite Ghostbusters sequel. But I'm not going to plant my flag on that. But okay, so now spoilers right now. If you haven't seen it, check it out. We're going to be answering some fan questions later, but now we're into spoiler territory.
There was one part I legitimately didn't understand, and I'm hoping that maybe you can clarify for me.
We'll see.
When McKenna Grace's character, what's her character's name?
Her name is something Spangler. Phoebe Spangler.
Okay, when Phoebe decides to become a ghost for a brief time period.
Yeah.
And she does that, and then we know what the plan was, and we hear that now he can control her.
Oh, because that's how she is able to open the box.
They said he needed a voice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So now this is now how he can control you.
Yeah.
I was confused because then afterwards I thought that he was going to be in her and go around and do things, but she seemed.
Yeah. That whole part was stupid. That whole part was
kept her voice.
Yeah.
She kept her voice. She's not controlled by him. So what actually happened there?
He does control her in that moment just to release himself. But that whole sequence I thought was dumb because one, it's like, wait, again, this was his plan.
Did he 1 second?
Did he know that the machine existed? And also her just being like, oh yeah, you know, they literally just told me that they've never tested pulling a spirit out of a person and it would probably be super dangerous, but just for shits and giggles so I can hang out with my ghost friend that I'm already able to hang out with, by the way, it doesn't really change the nature of our relationship. I'm just going to suck the soul out of my body on a whim. That whole segment, I'm like, well, this is dumb. This is a dumb part of this movie. So I don't know that I have a good answer for you, Roxy, other than plot needed him to escape. And for some reason, this is the decision we made.
So he's only controlling him for that one brief second, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, because the way that the ghost girl says it is like, now he controls
I guess for some reason, and I don't know why this is the case, it was on a timer that her spirit would go back into her body, so maybe it was
right, but I thought when it went back in, he was going to have control over her.
I think we
or he was going to have no voice because he had taken it.
I think we're to understand that he has control over spirits, and now that her spirit is back in her body, she is now no longer part of that because he's able to free all the other ghosts. By the way, another bullshit thing in there is, when we're in the aquarium ghost center, we see a lot of cool, creepy ghosts, and he breaks them all out, and we only see one of them show up, like the one that spits up stuff. And the one really creepy one never shows up again. That's kind of bullshit. And also, while we're in spoiler territory, another fun thing, though, is, again, thinking outside of like, okay, one of the most iconic spots in Ghostbusters is the firehouse. What if we had our whole final set piece in the firehouse? Great idea. That's fun. I like that. But to answer your question, I think all of that sequence is just plot contrivance.
Okay. I think they could have done a better job there.
Yes. Easily. Agreed. So, I agree. And then to just, now that we're in spoilers, what we find out is Kumail Nanjiani is part of a long lineage of ancient spirit warriors that use fire because of all fire and ice thing. Right. And so he's able to control fire, and this becomes a big component of defeating the ghost. And it's kind of silly. And I think you could just say, hey, man, you're part of this lineage. Now you will be a Ghostbuster. We're going to give you a proton pack and you're a Ghostbuster, which is you. Because that's what we want anyway. Him, Paul Rudd. You know what I mean? Like, we want these guys bantering with each other. Just put them in a Ghostbusters uniform. Get rid of the whole psychic fire bit. and just have him be a Ghostbuster at the end. And now he's continuing his family lineage of fighting this ghost demon guy.
I'm with you, but at least they knew the fire stuff was silly. Like, they seemed in on the joke.
Yes.
Like, at least, you know, with the Finn Wolfhard stuff and the kind of parallels between their two characters, I was like, okay, at least they're not taking this super seriously, because that would have been really uncomfortable.
Yeah, that would have been death.
And,
yeah.
And they made it silly, and I thought that that did work. But I'm with you. Like, it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's just why you and I liked this movie more. Ghosts were busted.
Our literally opening sequence is them in the Ecto-1 chasing that big dragon ghost. It's like, so immediately this movie's better than the last one.
Right. That's exactly how I felt, DJ. When we open with that car chase and the door coming open and whatever it is, and everybody's got their jobs on it with the drone and everything. And I was just like, word.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're back in New York. It's like, yes, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you Ghostbusters. Like, yeah, that was cool. I'm just, so what do you think, DJ, now that we know that this did not land with critics?
Yeah.
This is rotten with critics, and the other one wasn't. What do you think happened there?
I think this may have been where my weird thoughts about pop culture becoming religion came from, in that one of the reasons I did not like Afterlife is I did not like how reverent it was. Like, it was treating Ghostbusters like it was Force Awakens, and it's like, they're two different franchises, my guys. But I think fans, because I had similar conversations that you had with, let's say, older white male fans that really loved it. And I think it's that thing of like, that's kind of what fandom has become. You want a movie that tells you you're right. Your feelings on this are right. You know, we're just going to validate every feeling you've ever had about this. And I don't like feeling pandered to in that way. And I also don't feel like it fit the tone of the original, but I guess people responded to that. And
why didn't they respond to this?
Because I think the reason maybe you and I have responded to it more is now it's trying, like, okay, we have the movie that's basically jerking off the fans. Let's expand that shit. Let's take Ghostbusters and start trying to do new things with it. Let's expand that. And it's like, no, I don't know. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. And so I don't want to be like reductive or anything, but it is.
Yeah, but like, Crispin, for example, loved this. He loved it.
Okay, great.
So I was like, who are the people who loved the first one who didn't love this one?
I literally can't wrap my brain around it.
Yeah,
because
I don't know.
And to the point where it's like, I don't even know if I have an answer to your question. And with critics, maybe it's because the first one was first, so it's more refreshing, and this is a sequel to the reboot, so we're less forgiving of it. Like, because to me, this is leagues ahead of Afterlife. Like, it's not even close. Like, this one I might actually rewatch.
It still had all the OG characters. It's not like they were like, oh, we're not bringing them back.
And it did what I want from these things, where like, Ray is now, he runs this little pawn shop. Zettermore has his company. They're doing other things now, but they're things that feed into the story in interesting ways. Like, it worked, I thought.
Yeah, I really, as I was in the screening, I walked out thinking, I'm glad people liked this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see that, it's like, so, I don't know, did they do a second screening somewhere?
Yeah.
That, like, did the screening in New York go so poorly?
Yeah, maybe. Like,
pissed off the New Yorker, because the LA screening, I'm telling you, the critics liked it.
Like, yeah, that's wild. Well, we do have some questions from the Discord. Jake Hefner, do you think these Ghostbusters sequels would be better served if they followed the formula of the originals, i.e. leaning more horror-ish with comedic elements instead of going for the family-friendly route? Or are Afterlife and Frozen Empire the best we can hope for?
I do think that this was very family friendly, and they clearly have gone that route. And like you talked about earlier, DJ, they focused this whole movie on family.
Mm-hmm.
And like, people had, some people had their kids there,
and
it seemed like kids liked this. And I have no problem with that. I actually don't think that they should try to do what the originals did, because they should do something different. It's a new franchise. Like, it's the same franchise, but a new gen of it. And at when you pitch Ghostbusters, you know, a bunch of people busting ghosts, it is silly and fun. And like, I like the tone that they're going for, and I like the more family friendly. When you ask, is this the best that we can hope for? We have the original.
Mm-hmm.
That still exists.
Yeah.
So if that's what you liked, go watch that one.
Yeah. And one thing I liked about this, and it makes me hopeful for future installments, is for the first time in a long time, like even Ghostbusters 2 felt the need to like, well, we had the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Now we need the Statue of Liberty. We need a big thing. And so this was the first time. And then Afterlife was like Gozer again. This was the first one. Like, let's do different things. Let's try a different villain. Let's try different, you know. So it's like, oh, I can see this finally has the template where we can like keep building off of this. And truthfully, mm-hmm. I think the sequel, there's a good chance the sequel I would like more because Phoebe's character will be a little bit older. And so my one issue of like, I don't know that I care about a little kid that doesn't get to be a Ghostbuster because she's a little kid. I don't know that I care about that. I don't think that'll be the issue in the next movie. And so that'll probably be even closer.
Yeah. I liked when they did the bit with Stranger Things guy that he was like, I'm 18 now, you know, because like it's things like that where that's more relatable. We all remember turning 18 and being like, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Like, you are not an adult. You are a child. Yeah. You are a little kid who does goofy, weird things because you're super duper not an adult and your frontal cortex is not fully formed and you just are still a kid. But with her, it was less relatable. Like, I want to work and nobody will let me. And it was like, well, because you be a child.
Yeah. I want to do this dangerous job as a child. Like, no, we specifically have laws to prevent that. So it's weird that you want
to. And at least they did address that.
Yeah.
It's just funny. But like, Yeah.
So some of the stuff that didn't work as well for me, I think the next one we could be moved past. And if we keep this, if like, okay, so who's the new villain? Great.
Yeah. DJ, because that's like another good point. Were you getting, I don't know whether it's just me, I haven't talked to anybody else on this, I could be so far off base in this, but were you getting queer vibes from her that she was like in love with the ghost kind of?
I thought it was, yes, absolutely. And I do think it was smart that they kept it ambiguous, that it could just be friends, it could be more. Because now that I say that, why do I feel that way? I think because of a time. You know what I mean? Like they weren't, I know in movies we like to like fall in love with everybody immediately, but it's like, they don't get enough time to explore what their relationship could be. And also she's dead. But I definitely did get like, oh, maybe there's a little something going on here.
Just like, that's why I'd be interested to see when she's a little older, what they do with her character. But I did think, going back to your original thing, like why she's known this ghost for so short, they can kind of be together. Why did she want to become a ghost? I feel like if they wanted to explore that, they could have kind of explored that more. Like, she doesn't feel comfortable in her own skin yet. And she wants to be with this ghost, but the only way to like physically be with her, like have a kiss or whatever, is to be a ghost or something.
I guess my issue there is like, well, wouldn't you want to do the Casper situation where they become human? You becoming a ghost doesn't really fix anything. I don't think that resolves. I think you'd want to, and I know we didn't set that up plot wise. It's just confusing. That was a moment where the movie was like, pause. The plot needs to happen right now. Check your brain out, because none of this is going to make any sense. And now we're back to the movie.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it didn't really have to do that. There were so many different explanations we could have had.
Well, you could have just, they kept dicking around with that stupid orb. And so I kept waiting for them to press the right button or whatever and unlock the guy. I don't know that we needed her to become a ghost to open up. It's a magic orb. You can right away a billion ways to open that stupid orb.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And it did. It was the one moment where I was like, yeah, Phoebe shouldn't be working. She is a silly, stupid child.
Yes.
Like, that was really dumb. Don't do that.
And we keep emphasizing how dangerous these proton packs are. She clearly shouldn't be using these. Mike Joyce, after this, would you want to see a full reboot reimagining of Ghostbusters, or should they just let this franchise rest?
What do you mean?
I think the what Mike Joyce is saying is, I think, under the presumption we wouldn't like this movie, should they just do a full reboot, start over, or should they no more Ghostbusters movies? And I think from our conversation, we're like, I'd actually watch a third of these movies.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, the last thing I want to see is them scrap this and then reboot again.
Yeah.
Like, just that's a no for me right now. Make a different ghost movie if you want to do something else. Like, I like where we're at. But you are right, DJ, with talking about our main characters are getting older.
Yeah.
At some point, do I think that the premise of Ghostbusters are good enough that they could do a full reboot without them in 20 years from now? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm down for, like, wait a couple years. Maybe McKenna Grace's character will be 18, Finn Wolfhard will be a little bit older, keep Paul mm-hmm. right around, make Kumail Nanjiani a Ghostbuster, and then we'll actually be closer to keep blonde glasses guy, and then you'll actually be pretty close to what I'd want a Ghostbusters reboot to be anyway. So like, let's just keep playing this out.
I like Celeste O'Connor's character too.
Yeah, she's just underutilized, unfortunately.
Completely underutilized. I just think she's a good actress. I just watched that movie that I told you about with her. Not Madame Web, because obviously she's in that too, but one with Vince Vaughn, Freaky.
Freaky, and yeah, yeah.
She was really good in that too.
Her and podcast are underutilized, although they find a good way to reincorporate, like podcast is helping Ray. Celeste O'Connor is over here with the things like, oh, good. Everybody's got a spot. I think there's probably too many characters in this movie, but sure. Good job. But again, yeah, I think, you know, I think with the third one, I think you could really like dial it in into a really good spot. Leonard Kim, were there unique and innovative ghosts in Frozen Empire, or did they stick to more familiar, already established ghosts? And I would say pretty good balance. I would say there's a good... Yeah. Old school. Here's what I don't need. I don't need any more of those stupid little marshmallow guys. I don't think they're funny. I don't like that.
Yeah, I was a little concerned. Did you stay for the post credits?
I did. And I thought clearly the movie agrees with me and Possessor is the front runner of the new ghost. And so I thought when the truck started movie, it's like, oh yeah, Possessor, because we never figured out what to do with him. And they're like, no, it's the marshmallow guys. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, it's like the one scene that I was just like, ooh, that was like I hope that's not what they go for. I hope it was just like a little stinger.
Yeah. Yeah. No more of the marshmallow guys. I don't need them. It's not that, I was surprised at how much some of the fan service did work on me. Slimer, the library ghost. I was like, especially since they're in the library. And I like that they incorporated
the library ghost.
Yeah, and they incorporated like Patton Oswalt. Like, we're not making him a Ghostbuster, but he's like this lore guy. I'm like, that's great. Good job. I was a little confused about Possessor's motivation because there was times where I was like, is he trying to stop What's-His-Face from coming out? Or is he trying to help What's-His-Face from coming out? Is Possessor hurting us or help? I kind of thought there'd be a reveal of like, no, Possessor's been trying to stop you from releasing What's-His-Face. And I don't, and maybe that's a knock on the villain that I can't remember his name. Horn guy.
Horn. Yeah. That was a good line. Tall, dark, and horny.
Yeah. And the trailer didn't work, but once you have context of like, oh no, the horns are actually pertinent to the character. This is actually is a good joke.
Yeah, I liked it. I did like it.
All right. So those are our thoughts on Frozen Empire. We liked it better than literally everybody else. But go enjoy it. Let us know what you think. And Roxy, where can the kids check out what you're working on?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter / X.
Make out the vowels from stupid.
And we will see you next time.